Okay, good morning, everybody. I'd like to call the County Clerk Recorder Review Committee special session meeting to order. And I'll turn it over for roll call for to, I'm sorry. I will start off with the flag salute. Let's stand up for that. I
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, now we'll try roll call.
Vicki Jansen.
Here.
Lee Price.
Here.
Ken Hampion.
Here.
Chuck Bell.
Here.
Marcia Torgerson.
Here.
Rita Neal.
Here.
Tammy Douglas Schatz.
Here.
Wade Horton.
Here.
Thank you. We'll move on to item two, which is deliberation and recommendation of candidates to the Board of Supervisors for the appointment of Clerk Recorder. And I'll turn it over to Rita Neal for comment about public comment.
Good morning, Rita Neal, County Council. After a moment, we're going to be starting public comment. And at the last meeting, for those of you that weren't here, the committee asked specifically that if there are any candidates who wish to speak to the committee today, that you try to limit those comments to the process itself. The committee was tasked specifically to review the applications and to not interview candidates. If any of the candidates get moved forward for recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, those candidates will have the opportunity to address the Board of Supervisors at that time. So the suggestion and the request of the committee that if there are candidates today, you certainly are free to make public comment, but the request is that you keep those comments specific to the process and try to, again, if you can, stay away from qualifications and why you would make the best candidate. And that is simply a request, not a requirement. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment?
Well, just a minute. I think I would ask, I think maybe some of the committee members wanted to make.
Oh, prior to public comment. Thank you. Thank you very much. Are there any panel members wishing to address?
Tammy, I just have a couple of housekeeping things. First of all, my phone number on the list is incorrect.
Okay.
Should be 781-4491. And then I have a little statement I need to make that in as my job as Supervisor Pichon's legislative assistant, I receive and pass on supervisor emails and letters of supports for the applicants. And such administrative work on my part in no way has influenced my ability to be impartial and fair as a committee member.
Thank you. Anyone else on the panel wishing to make a comment?
Well, the only thing I guess this is kind of housekeeping as well. I do think before we actually get into, you know, which candidates we would recommend, that we should have a moment where we disclose any prior relationships with any of the candidates, and you know that can certainly come after public comment. I know two of them.
Okay, we can do that now.
We can do that now if you'd like.
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, Elena Cano was hired by the city of San Luis Obispo by San Luis Obispo's former city clerk Audrey Hooper. In 2004, she reported directly to Audrey. I was the city manager at the time. And then Audrey retired around June of 2009, and there was a recruitment to fill in her position of city clerk. And that same month, July of 2009, I announced my retirement from city management. Shelley Stanwyck, the assistant city manager, appointed Elena to be the city clerk. I left the building not too long thereafter. So while I've worked with Elena Cano in her role as deputy city clerk, I didn't hire her for those jobs, and I didn't evaluate her performance. I have run into her professionally from time to time over the years. I was doing some work for Pismo Beach when she was the city clerk there. I probably haven't seen her in maybe 5 years. If I did, we have a friendly relationship. We're not personal friends. I feel like my evaluation of her application can be very objective, and so I'll comment on that later. The other candidate that I know just on a professional level briefly is the former council member from Grover Beach, Miriam Shaw. I have been engaged by the city manager of Grover Beach over the years to assist their city council with goal setting. And also, I think I did a staff council team building thing when Ms. Shaw was on the council. As you know, she resigned not too long ago. So my interaction with her has strictly been in that role, strictly professional. I feel like I've evaluated her application objectively as well.
Lee Price, I too would like to disclose an acquaintance, a candidate, also Elena Cano. Elena came in as the deputy city clerk and then city clerk after I left the city of San Jose in 2004. So she never was an employee of mine. At Ken's request, I sat on an interview panel, which included other professionals, including Julie Rodewall, when Elena was selected as the city clerk for San Luis Obispo. But as I mentioned, I had moved on to Santa Clara County, and over the years, I have been acquainted with Elena, but more from my role as a professional development core trainer with the two California Institutes for Municipal Clerks. So my acquaintance with her is really more at that level. I as the trainer, she as a participant, like many others in the training rooms. I also, during a short period of interim city clerk work for the city of San Luis Obispo, I had a brief encounter with Elena in her role as assistant registrar of voters here in San Luis Obispo. I think that was in 2015. I too believe that I could be objective and impartial, and with that, I'll just make that one disclosure.
I have the same disclosure because I was city clerk in Atascadero from 1996 to 2016. And Elena was city clerk, deputy in San Luis, and then city clerk, and then city in Pismo Beach, and city clerk in Pismo Beach, all at that same time. So the only dealing I had with her was because she was a city clerk, as I was, and we just had, anytime our city clerks of the county got together, but I never actually worked with her or hired her or anything like that.
Sure, and I know, and work professionally with Stu Jenkins, who is a candidate, as the Tribune noted in its article the other day, as co-counsel on a case. I was lead counsel on a case involving an election matter here. So I know him through that relationship. It's a friendly relationship, but not particularly social, and I believe I've met some of the other people in connection with election work in the offices, but I can't really say that I know them, and I can be impartial in this.
Okay, if that's all the comments from the panel, we'll move on to public comment. I have one request form to speak. Jim Fitzgerald, there's the microphone's here, Jim, and you have 1 minute.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. I did listen very carefully to your last meeting, and one of you did state that you want us to stay on the process, so I'll talk about the process. The Board of Supervisors asked that you present them with 7 candidates, and I feel you should present them with 7 good management candidates to manage the office for a little more than a year. please review the posted ideal candidate. I passed one out. I feel the HR department unknowingly changed the process, and this happened because they changed the criteria for the ideal candidate. In your binders, the screening criteria states you should only look for candidates with election experience, but the Board of Supervisors voted to look for a manager for all the employees in the department. The fact is, the department has an excellent group of employees now that can run elections. Also, two-thirds of the employees work in non-election items. I worked for UPS for over 20 years. I have a management experience, and I'd like my resume to be turned in with 7 experienced management resumes to the Board of Supervisors. Thank you.
Thank you. If there are no other people wishing to speak in public comment, we'll close public comment. Okay, public comment is closed. So at the last meeting, we offered to help facilitate the discussion of the panel about the next part of the process. And just as a recap, each of you had a binder with all of the applications that you were able to spend time with and to review against the criteria that you agreed upon. And what we said that we would do today is start off with each of you identifying who your top candidates are, so the candidates that you would refer to the board if it were just up to you. And then you can see which candidates each of you have chosen, and then deliberate as a panel to identify who you as a group will refer to the Board of Supervisors. So in the interest of facilitating, what we thought would be simple and effective is each of you has a Sharpie, and we thought that you could each take one of these pieces of paper hanging here, write your name on top, and then write the candidates up to 7 that you would refer to the board. And that will at least get us started on seeing if you have any commonalities. And then you can discuss and move from there. We certainly can go through this in any way the panel would like, and that's just our suggestion of a way to do it today.
Just yes. For purposes of clarification, I don't believe the Board of Supervisors said that we were compelled to recommend 7 candidates. What I heard, staff recommended 5, board said up to 7. There was an emphasis on making sure that we, you know, recommended to them highly qualified people. It's true that they didn't set minimum qualifications for the recruitment, but I think if you just take some of the comments that were made at the board meeting, it was understood that experience mattered. In fact, I believe it was Supervisor Compton who said, you know, if somebody has 20 years of experience, then the cream will rise to the top. So the other thing the board said is that this process should be open and transparent, and for it to be open and transparent, we have to have some basis for our recommendations, which is why at the last meeting we looked at the suggested selection criteria, and I think generally we all agreed that it was reasonable. You know, I mean, we're all going to bring our own judgment to whether or not a candidate meets that criteria, but I think, you know, there was agreement that it was reasonable. So I just thought that's important in light of the comments that was made.
If I can just make some comments and reaction really to Mr. Fitzgerald, as well as yours. I think the challenge here is, I haven't done this much, I have to admit that, but the challenge here is to take the paper submissions that have been made by people, and it seems that none of us really know many of these candidates. Very few of us know any of them. And so I think it's difficult to really qualitatively evaluate criteria such as executive leadership. You can certainly look at it qualitatively from the standpoint of what their experience and length of experience and the supervisor's responsibilities that they've had. But I think Mr. Fitzgerald does make a good point, which is that leadership is what's really the key here. Certainly someone without any experience in the election or the recording process or the other responsibilities of that office is going to be in a different position than someone who has extensive experience or has worked in that office and may be a sterling subordinate and technical person, but the question is really leadership. And I say that not to question anyone's leadership capabilities, but just to say that it is difficult to assess that from a paper record. However, I think that's the responsibility of the Board of Supervisors, and our responsibility is to kind of cull the group of applicants so that they can more easily make a determination here. So that's my view generally. So I don't think we should exclude people who have extensive management experience but not direct election experience. I say that with some personal background because my own father had an extensive military history, but no experience in administration of county government. Was eventually the director of General Services of Kern County for a number of years, and served capably in that, largely because of his management experience, which he had obtained in the military, and which I think he brought to that task. I'm not a contemporary, and I'm a great fan of my father, who's deceased now, but whether his contemporaries or people who hired him or worked under him had a similar view, I wouldn't offer an unbiased opinion.
Lee Price. I will just say that as I reviewed all of the applications, I thought very seriously about some of the comments made in this room a couple of weeks ago, in particular by the CAO, Mr. Wade, about what he as the county administrator is looking for in the interim department head that we are assisting with the selection of. And someone who has established experience, demonstrated experience, specialized technical experience. So those were the things that I was looking for as I was reviewing the applications. And so the names that I will be putting forward are those that I believe meet those thresholds.
Yeah, and I guess I would, I mean, I hear what Mr. Bell is saying. I was a federal employee for a while and had a really hard time cracking back into local government because I became identified as a Fed and, you know, it was challenging to make the case that the experiences were transferable. I think the difference here is, you know, we're not looking to recommend people to the board forever. And this isn't an election campaign. We're not looking for the most viable candidates. It's an interim position where people have to hit the ground running. I mean, that was said over and over at our last meeting. They have to understand the inner workings of the office that, you know, under the screening criteria that we all said was reasonable, has overseen an election process, has ensured all legal and election mandates were met, and there were several bullet points that were made that really emphasized that we needed somebody who could be value added to the staff right away. It was said that, you know, this isn't a time to learn on the job. That was Mr. Horton's comment, you know, and so I took that into account in the recommendations that I'm going to make is how quickly can somebody come in and really roll up their sleeves and work with the staff to do the work that they have.
May I make one more comment? An apology. I called you Mr. Wade. Sorry, Wade.
Has a nice ring to it.
It's a little southern.
I am from the South. I just wanted to piggyback on Ken's comments and add that because this is an interim position and the staff is looking for somebody with the experience to hit the ground running, I too am mindful of the fact that we have voters throughout San Luis Obispo County who need to just have the most absolute trust in the person that's going to be appointed. That we don't have time to train somebody and to gain the public's trust. We need to go with someone right now that can do that and put the voters at ease. The right person has been put in the position.
I agree with both Ken and Lee in the sense of what we heard from Wade, and I agree that this is an interim elected position. We need someone to just step in and be able to do the job right away and not learn the job. We were just talking about that before the meeting started too, that if someone wanted to be a future county clerk or court, probably starting somewhere lower and learning the job and moving up, but for an interim or even just running for the office and getting the public to vote. But in this position, I agree that I think the Board of Supervisors is looking for someone who they can appoint in it, and they will do the job for the year until the election.
I'll follow up with that. I wasn't here at the last meeting, but I did listen to the recording and I did read the minutes, so I know what you discussed and as far as criteria, and I agree. I'm looking for somebody that can come in and hit the ground running, somebody with leadership and management experience as well. So that's how I judged my applications.
So does your panel want to go through the process of listing the names on the white paper, or did you want to take a different approach to start discussing your candidate selections?
I would like to say that what I said to you earlier is I have a few people that I would recommend and to put on that list, but I have a few others that are kind of maybes, that, not as experienced probably, but so I don't know if I should, I kind of feel like I should only put the few that I really am recommending and not the maybes, or do you want me to separate them out? You guys have the same idea, and do you want to put them as two separate groups, or just put the ones that we totally recommend? If you have an opinion, I'd like to hear that.
I think it might be best if we put those that we feel really confident about recommending, and then maybe see how it goes.
How much overlap we have.
Uh-huh.
And then we can get to the others maybe where we're not unanimous or some questions.
I agree with that.
So.
Okay.
So we grab our Sharpies.
Grab your Sharpies. Dry Sharpie, that's the worst. We have backups.
Do you need another pen?
We have backups.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I see that. Sorry.
Okay, now that I'm older, it's all the more.
Go ahead and try and read one.
future.
Okay, so it seems there's three candidates that all five of you agree on, and that's Barry, Nolan, and Kano. So as the panel has, they're unanimous on those individuals. I recommend that we pause there, and you have some, if you'd like to have some dialogue that the panel feels confident moving those three forward, and then we can talk about the remainder.
Yeah, I think it's great. We overlap on three of the candidates, and we should just set those aside as unanimous recommendations to the board, and then talk about the others, and you know, see if there's anyone else that there's a consensus to add to the list.
Were you looking for comments
to make
about
a motion
these
or
three,
yes.
Or
I think that's up to
I mean,
well, I sure.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what he said.
I just asked whether he was thinking about comments about these three. I mean, I think we all agreed that these three met some basic criteria. Maybe it would be better to wait until later, because I think what I had in mind is at least maybe giving the supervisors a little bit of at least reflection about what things we think might be appropriate to ask these candidates when they're under consideration by the board. To help sharpen their focus.
I would suggest if we're going to come up with questions for the board, just suggestions, maybe we do that at the end after we've gotten to. Well, just real quickly, I just felt like the three candidates that we've all identified were just heads and shoulders above the rest in terms of the experience and qualifications that we said we were looking for at our last meeting. And you know, there was one other candidate in there. It might be on, I can't see that far. It might be on one of the other lists, but I think the last name was Legge or Leg, L-E-G-G-E.
Yeah. I had that one.
Yeah, the assistant clerk from Bakersfield. And I just looking at that, and I'd be interested in what particularly our former city clerks have to say. It just looked like she was not working at really the level that we're looking for, and even at the level she was at, it's only been two and a half years, so maybe one election, and not even directly responsible for the election, so I didn't include her. That was the only other one I sort of thought about including, but decided not to.
I keep agreeing with Ken. I'm sorry, I do have my own opinions.
But, you talk first next time.
Okay. But I felt the same way. I had Lena Legge or whatever, I had her as a maybe for the same reasons. She has been an assistant city clerk, but some of the other things, she had a lot of positions that were executive management, had a lot of good education, but again, not the actual experience. That's why I didn't put her on my list, because she didn't have the experience of running an actual election for a county like that, but I had that same one, same idea about her also.
She was on my list as well, and because she had that experience working, she's a clerk to their board, I believe, and she has that experience working with other electeds, and but I didn't really see that she had that election experience, so I had that as a question.
Lee Price, and I concur. Could see someone of her caliber coming in, you know, in a manager position and working up towards it. Seems to have that potential and that interest, but I don't feel, given kind of the bullets we were looking for in the applications, I don't think she's at that level yet.
So the committee is clearly voicing confidence in unanimously recommending the three candidates. Are we at this point? Your committee can discuss whether or not that they would like to consider additional candidates, or if the committee is comfortable with moving forward with these three.
I'll speak first this time. I would say I wish there had been more that were qualified like these three are. I think it would be good for the board to have had more people to interview, to compare, whatever. But I don't, you know, I don't think they're there, personally. I think that anyone else in here, although educated and lots of good experience in different things, wouldn't be able to step in and be the county clerk recorder first day. But those three, I think, would be able to.
Lee Price, I feel very confident recommending these three. They are the cream of the crop. I think that the supervisor's job is going to be difficult with the three because they're all well-qualified, dedicated public servants with experience unique to the clerk recorder's office. I'm very confident recommending the three.
And I feel like we shouldn't, you know, force people into the top tier just to get to some arbitrary number. I think the board's time is valuable. It takes time to thoroughly interview somebody, much less to do it in public. And so if we've got three good ones, which actually nowadays in recruitment, three good ones ain't too bad. You know, I think that's what we should go with. I'm happy to entertain discussion of any other candidates that didn't get on my list, but if we only wind up with three, that to me, I think the board will have the three best.
Well, I think that the board should have an opportunity to consider a broader range of people than just the three. I think these three certainly meet the qualifications of experience. In terms of the position, I think the thing that I am most concerned about is the public perception of both importance of the election process, the importance of the impartiality of the election process, and that there is a public component to this, which I think, if I had any questions, and I don't have any questions about these three candidates for the board to consider, there are all people who have been in subordinate positions. I acknowledge that Ms. Nolan is currently acting in this position and has gone through an election process, or is in the middle of an election process at the moment, in the lead role on an interim basis. None of them, we're not in a situation where we have someone who has actually served as the lead person other than Ms. Nolan in even though they have extensive experience. And I think that the reason that I actually supported all three was of that internal experience which they have in the camp. What I don't know, and it's not really fair for me to ask, but it's certainly something that the board likely would ask, is if it didn't go to you, Ms. Nolan, would you continue on if that be the desire of the whoever is actually selected on an interim basis to serve in that position? Would you continue on in a deputy position? Because certainly that kind of experience is important, particularly as we're going into two big elections, bigger than this recall election, for the 2022 primary and general, which are important elections. They're going to be substantial responsibilities, and I do think that, unfortunately, the legislature has put burdens on election officials to conduct elections, which are unprecedented in the last 3 or 4 years, and certainly have been a load on their ability to conduct elections. I'm very sensitive to that. But I do think that other leadership skills, even ones that are somewhat related, are important, and that leadership and confidence is something that the board is likely to consider important as it considers candidates. So if they had no other than these, I think they'd certainly be in a position to make a good choice. I do think we should give them a broader set of options. So I have two names on the list. Mr. Jenkins is an experienced attorney who's been involved in the election process. So I think in a lower position, certainly as a volunteer directly on elections, but has interfaced with that process over the years in his practice. Mr. Evans has an interesting background to me, both his professional background, but also as a manager of non-state systems and state systems, as an elected official, and also a department head of a department. So I felt he brought an interesting set of skills to the resume. I'm looking at also the letters that were sent. I'm not sure why what I think about people who don't submit letters in addition to the application, which would give a better idea about what really motivates them to seek this position and how they think they can fulfill it. But of the ones that I saw, I thought that Mr. Berry's was good, Ms. Nolan's was good, I think Mr. Jenkins was good as well.
So, oh, go ahead, Ken.
Well, so this is an open and transparent process. That's what the board said that they wanted. And so I'm going to say something here that I would say if this were a typical HR process and we were doing this in a confidential way. I've screened applications now on and off for over 40 years, and I have a comment to make about Mr. Jenkins' application in that respect. But let me start by saying, one of the things we all seem to agree on at our very first meeting is that we're in a politically overheated time, and that with this appointment, we really needed somebody who could turn the temperature down, focus on the job at hand, and lead and manage the department in fulfilling its core duties until a new clerk recorder was elected. So it's an interim job, it's not an elected one, and they're different. And I think the qualifications demand different things. And so this is more about experience than politics. So I have to say this, being very forthright, and I'm glad to know that you and Mr. Jenkins are not friends, because I don't mean to offend anybody here, but honestly, in my 40 years of reviewing applications for professional apolitical, nonpartisan jobs. A highly political application like the one submitted by Mr. Jenkins would be a big red flag. You know, to me, it reflected poor judgment, which then, you know, I think gives us some insights into leadership and leadership temperament, the kind that we're looking for in this interim appointment. You know, it was a strategy that one might deploy in a political campaign, that's fine, but not for something like this. An example, his resume reads like a campaign brochure. It's written in the third person. It includes repetitive slogans. It's literally titled with the slogan. It includes a call to vote for him. I mean, an application to us includes a call to vote for him. His references are kind of a who's who of political people. There was only one person among them that has worked in a clerk recorder's office, and I believe that that was many years ago. There's been, you know, surrogates have been deployed to campaign before the board, and all of that. You know, candidacy's been pitched publicly quite a bit. We all know this. And so I think this kind of hyperbole in campaigning is okay, but within the context of an election campaign. And indeed, you know, Mr. Jenkins has announced his candidacy to run for the office. That's fine. But this isn't a political process. And, you know, we're not empowered to judge the most viable political candidates. That's not what the board asked us to do. They asked us to review written applications and recommend for interviews the most qualified people to professionally lead the department until the next clerk recorder is elected. And anyone, you know, who wants to run and make their case to the voters in any way they want has over a year to do it, that's fine. And it's certainly Mr. Jenkins' right to pursue the job and go after it any way he wants. But for this process, you know, he hasn't demonstrated the apolitical, non-political leadership qualities and temperament that we want, and I don't think he has the hands-on experience either. And as an employee of the department stated in a pretty long paragraph in a letter she sent to the board, you know, being a customer of a business does not mean that someone is an expert in running the business. So, you know, I looked at his resume very carefully because it's been obvious that it's, you know, he's really going after it, and that's okay, but in the context of an election, not in the context of this process. And that's my opinion about that Mr. Jenkins' candidacy.
It may be helpful. We do have some names on that are remaining on the list. We've talked about Mr. Jenkins, we've talked about Ms. Leggy, and we've talked about Mr. Evans. Maybe we could do a we can just do a poll on each candidate to see whether or not we should consider deliberating whether they be included or not, and then we'll see where we get there with that. Would that be helpful?
Sure.
Okay. So, Mr. Jenkins, how many folks support moving Mr. Jenkins forward? Okay. Mr. Evans? Okay.
Pardon me.
Yes.
Add me to that list.
Oh, what's that?
Yes, I was obviously I put his
name.
He's
voting yes also.
I'm voting yes also.
Oh, yes. There was two votes for
right.
Ms. Leahy? And then we haven't discussed Barbara Schmitz yet. Vicki, would you like to?
Well, so my thought was that I was supposed to choose seven people, and she has a lot of legislative and management and policy background, and so trying to get to seven people, I put her on my list because of her experience in the legislature and with electeds and government knowledge.
Okay.
I mean, do you still feel that she should be on the list?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
So I'll ask, is there any support to move Ms. Schmitz forward? Okay, it looks like you have a recommended slate of candidates based on individuals that have been placed on the wall. Is there anybody else that you would like to discuss before we turn it over to any closing comments?
Well, I would like them to make a final motion and for the recommendation, so that would be one of the things I would request you do. But any comments as well?
Lee Price, I would move that we move Mr. Barry, Ms. Cato, and Ms. Helen Nolan on to the Board of Supervisors for their consideration.
I'll second that.
Should we take a roll call?
May I ask a question
before yes, sir.
We vote on that? Would that be only those three?
I'll amend my motion to say these three candidates.
Only.
Only.
Okay.
Is there more discussion on your under discussion before you vote?
Well, I'll just discuss for the obvious reason that I expressed an interest in adding more candidates. I would vote no on only, although, as indicated, I do feel those three appropriately should be referred.
One suggestion, if Mr. Bell, if once this motion is taken, if you want to make another motion to move a candidate forward, you can certainly do that as well and see where you get with it.
That's fine. I don't, based on the comments that have been made, I'm not sure that it's necessary to do that.
All right, just wanted to make sure you knew you had the option.
Okay, Mike, will you call a roll call on that, please?
Okay. Vicki Jansen.
Aye.
Lee Price.
Aye.
Ken Hampion.
Aye.
Chuck Bell.
No.
Marcia Torgerson.
Aye.
Okay, so that motion carries. Is there any other motions? Yes.
I just hope will it be expressed to the board in a way that makes it clear that Mr. Bell thinks the three candidates are, you know, they were on his list, but, you know, he just feels there should be other candidates added to it, in fairness, because I think that reflects the unanimity of our opinion about those three candidates.
Yeah, the only question is whether I've sufficiently stated that in this process. I don't feel compelled to dissent or mm-hmm. if I do support moving these forward.
I don't blame Mr. Bell. You know, I just hope it's expressed in a way where it doesn't come across that one person is opposed to these three candidates, because that's we're all.
No, I think the wording only may convey that, although maybe not as distinctly as.
Could we put another motion on, the floor that the screening committee unanimously forwards the following three names to the Board of Supervisors?
Yes, you can do that. There's a couple things you could do at this point. You can make another motion, or you could request, and we'd have to take a vote, to rescind your motion and place a new motion on. So it's up to you how you want to do it.
As a motion maker, I'd like to rescind the previous motion that emphasized only, so that we can hopefully forward a unanimous decision onto the Board of Supervisors. So I will rescind.
You have to move to rescind it.
I'll move to rescind my motion.
I'll second.
Second.
Thank you.
Can I have a roll call on that, Michael?
Okay. Vicki Jansen.
Aye.
Lee Price.
Aye.
Ken Hampion.
Yes.
Chuck Bell.
Yes.
Marcia Torgerson.
Yes.
And then do we have another motion to be made?
You offer it.
Okay. I would move that we forward to the Board of Supervisors for interviews, candidates, Nolan, Cano, and Barry.
Maybe specific, it's Helen Nolan, because I think there's two Nolan applications.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you. Helen Nolan.
Okay. Vicki Jansen?
Aye.
Lee Price?
Aye.
Ken Hampion?
Aye.
Chuck Bell?
Aye.
Marcia Torgerson?
Aye.
Okay, you got your unanimous on that. Does anybody want to make any other motions or any other discussion?
Final comments,
anything?
I would like to make one on just the overall philosophical question of leadership. I do believe that all three of these candidates demonstrate leadership by the roles that they currently hold and the positions that they've held in their professional career. This is a working department, as the CAO mentioned last time, and leaders are at all levels in an organization. It can be the front counter person all the way up to the department head. Demonstrating leadership is really about a lot of things, and we could probably have a whole afternoon debate about what's a leader and what's not a leader. But I do think and want to emphasize that in addition to the technical experience and the demonstrated passion for public service, these are leaders in local government. They all have gone through professional development training, very specialized technical training that demonstrate that they are interested in being leaders in their field, that they want to stay abreast of new law, which you have to do. So I just feel really comfortable not only in their experience as elections officials, as clerk recorders. Elena Cano, for instance, has been a city clerk in two cities. That is a leadership position in municipal government. And the other two have shown, by looking at their resumes, they show leadership potential by just the very roles that they have held in their careers. So I feel really comfortable with these three candidates.
I guess I'll just add a comment about sort of related experience. You know, I didn't really glom on to Mr. Evans as, a top candidate, but he has an impressive background, and he's got the education and so forth. But I struggled a little bit, trying to judge, well, because you've been a policy decision maker or on a board, is that really the experience that we're looking for? And I think of Marion Shaw, who I have seen in action, as I described earlier, working for the city of Grover Beach. Impressive, bright, diligent council member, really into policy, was my observation. But when I looked at her application and compared it to the experiences that we said we needed, she just, to me, she just didn't qualify to be in that that tier of candidates. So, I know people can make the transition at times. I just think that this is a short-term deal, and it doesn't lend itself to that learning on the job as we've talked about previously.
Well, and by no means do I think less of any of these people. I certainly was supportive of them. In my own practice, I worked with election clerks and have for many years all over the state, and I've found them, the leadership as well as the staff, to be civic-minded, very oriented to their duty, and really striving to perform it well. What I don't see, and which I think is a little bit different, is and each of you perhaps has more than I seen them interacting within their county governments and their city governments as departmental officials. And that's an element of leadership that I think has to be acknowledged as well. But I do think that we do have a
society that's not just composed of people in government who have significant leadership experience to bring to the table. I acknowledge that for a temporary position, certainly valuing people who have direct on-the-job experience in this kind of role is important. So I think we've got a good group of people to forward here. I just think we shouldn't necessarily exclude people with differing experiences, often maybe more significant leadership experiences in the private sector as well as other governmental sectors. So that's kind of where I come from on all of this. But I think these people are certainly worthy of moving forward.
We certainly don't want to inhibit any further discussion that your panel wants to have, but if you feel like you're finished, we also don't want to keep you unnecessarily. So just kind of let us know what...
Well, Mr. Bell mentioned questions early in the meeting, and, you know, that might be challenging for us to come up with good ones here on the fly, but if somebody had some suggestions, I certainly would be interested in them. I think, you know, asking not only about the typical, you know, experience and leadership and management, but working with the public, you know, building trust with the public. I'm not at pitching anyone's candidacy here, but I thought the article in the paper a day or two ago where there was some talk about election observers and how it's being handled, I thought it was a good example of, you know, the benefits of communicating with people and, you know, outreach and trying to build understanding of how all this stuff works that most of us as voters don't really fully get. I thought that was good, and maybe a question along those lines of working with the public, building public support. Trust in the process and interest.
I agree with that. And I also think the board ought to consider how these people view their role in communicating to the public how elections work. I think that was evident in the article. And, you know, there is a misunderstanding in many parts about how the process works. It's pretty complicated, and a lot of people pursue that from their own perspective, either being a voter or having trouble voting or that sort of thing. But that's only a piece of this. I think in terms of questions, for example, with Mr. Berry, I saw that he was laid off, basically. The one question I would have, and I think might be important, is what were the circumstances there? Because typically a principal deputy doesn't get laid off. I guess the recall election wasn't really close enough on the horizon to predict that it would qualify for the 2021 ballot. The end of 2020, so I don't know what the circumstance was there. Worth asking.
I agree. That was one thing that caught my attention. He was laid off, and I don't believe he's been working full time since then. So I mean, I just think that would be one of those things you have to know more about.
And then I think, you know, more generally, they should ask the candidates, because I'm sure that we'll have more extensive opportunities to answer that than perhaps in the letters they submitted, how you deal with this issue. We have a very divided electorate. We have people who are suspicious of the process, rightly or wrong. How do you rebuild confidence in that process? It's not a short-term project, I'm convinced. It's a long-term one. But how does the leader of the election agency contribute to both a better public understanding of the election process and the complete complete transparency of that process to observers. And so I think those are all things that they should consider when they make this decision. And the other, I suppose, you know, let's get it out on the table here. Would any of these people expect to be candidates for election to the office? Because this does give whoever is selected at least a leg up on anyone else who might run for the office. So these are just questions. How the answers play out depends on the candidates and what they have to say.
Pretty sure that question will be asked.
Yeah, it's not a novel question.
No. I'm assuming that the Board of Supervisors will be asking their own questions. They'll each come up with their own questions to ask.
And just a reminder, too, that we will be doing background investigations on the candidates, so the Board will also have that information.
Just a question on the process. Would the Board appreciate our presence at that meeting? Would you anticipate that they might have any questions for the screening committee, or at least a representative of the screening committee? Or is there any expectation that we will be there?
I think the Board would appreciate your attendance at the meeting in case they may have a question.
Do you think these will be in person? Are these going to be in person at this point?
Yes. We anticipate they'll be in person. The only exception is what the COVID situation. If something happens with COVID, then that may change.
Yeah, and the meeting is there's a special meeting already set for October 12th. So.
At what time?
I think 9 o'clock.
It's 09.
Yeah.
And that's the only item on the agenda?
Yeah, it's just a special meeting. Yeah.
Well, I certainly would like, on behalf of the county, thank the selection committee for your time and your expertise in going through these applications. And I know the Board would want me to thank you as well, so appreciate it.
Thank you.
Our thanks to the staff, including the staff on the back table there.
Thank you.
We made this very easy and well organized.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you for the opportunity to serve.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we'll adjourn the meeting then. We are adjourned.
Do you want to?